This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome back, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're into the scorching time of the season, and we have got a lot to talk about on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here, starting off this 11 o'clock hour, and some great baseball yesterday, Jimmy. Three super regional games, and none of them were decided until at least the eighth inning when Illinois had their shot. And then you've got Cal State, Fullerton, and TCU going deep into the ball game. But it's all worth it when you get to Omaha.
Boy, I'd say so. I mean, what tough losses for all three teams, you know, that their season ended like that. And it wasn't much difference between, you know, either one of those teams, just one break. You know, this TCU A&M game, how many times did TCU have the bases loaded or runners at second and third and hit the ball hard sometimes, and sometimes the pitcher would get him out with a good pitch too.
So sometimes he'd just get in the way. Sometimes they just hit it off the pitcher.
Unbelievable. Wasn't that something?
Well, we have got a lot to talk about. Andy Ramspacker from the Daily Progress out in Charlottesville is going to talk Virginia baseball. We're going to talk Major League Baseball draft and a little Husker baseball recruiting with Dan Hoppen. But a special start to the show today. I don't know how he's up. I barely got up to make it into to do sports this morning, but the head coach of the Horned Frogs, Jim Schlossnagel, joins us again here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Back to the College World Series. Coach, did you get any sleep? And congratulations.
No, I didn't. We had our first week of baseball camp started this morning at 8 a.m., so I had 200 6 to 12 year olds to get ready for camp, but got about 2.5 hours of sleep, but it's well worth it.
Those campers will keep you awake, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they will. They'll drive you crazy sometimes, but that's the lifeblood of our program. So, got to do it.
Coach, I really enjoyed the game last night. I probably more than you did, even though at the very end I know how excited you were. But what a special baseball game. Go through some things that happened there late. You know, seemed to me that you had the bases loaded, had way more scoring opportunities than A&M, and A&M was just hanging on. Go over some of the things you were thinking about, substitute running, hitting runs, things you were trying to do.
Well, you know, it was there's no doubt it was a great game, and I hate to even – boast too much about our, you know, us winning the game just for fear of, you know, I don't want the A&M was just as competitive, and it was an honor to be a part of it. But, you know, it was just a matter, we had opportunities, and either we hit the ball at somebody or off somebody, you know, Scout hits the ball off the stinking pitcher, and you're wondering whether you're even going to have a chance, and then Evan Williams right behind him spoke the ball that the Alamon made a nice play on. So you either have situations like that or you know, their guys making great pitches. And so I think we had the leadoff hitter on like five of the last six or seven innings. And so you're in a constant battle of do you give up outs to get a guy in scoring position. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. We don't normally bunt that much. We prefer to steal or hit and run. But, Coach Mosiello, our third base coach, does a great job of running our offense, and we trust his decisions.
We're talking with TCU baseball coach Jim Schlossnagel here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When the game gets that deep in whatever, if you're playing triple overtime in basketball or 15 innings in baseball, and you guys have done your share of the 15-inning game last year at the College World Series, focus has to be there all the time. How many times did you have to just between innings say something to the team as a whole, or did you just let it roll last night?
I didn't have to say a word to them because, you know, the strength of our club, we have a very unusual situation on our particular team in that we have eight seniors, and all of these guys, you know, they're not back in their senior year because they're not good players. They're back because they're, you know, really good players who decided they wanted to come back to school instead of sign professionally and get their degree or at least get closer. And so, you know, they've been around the block. And, you know, we had that great run last year. We were a part of in the regional last year. You know, we had an 11-inning game against Siena. We had a 22-inning game against Sam Houston State. All three super regional games were one run. And then, you know, we won a one-run game against Texas Tech and then lost a 15-inning game in Omaha. So those guys, have, you know, they've been a part of games like that really the last 2 years. And so, you know, I've trusted their experience and their maturity all year. And you know, they continued, you know, to come through last night.
You know, Coach, one thing that kind of got lost in this was your last pitcher, and he was a tall kid. I can't remember his name. But he was behind 3-0 and battled back, you know, and struck a guy out, I think, looking. And I thought the umpire had a good zone last night. I thought he was generous to the pitchers. He was not afraid to call somebody out on a 3-2 pitch. You know, he was going to make somebody put the ball in play. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a game like that, you know, you're going to, both teams are going to have unbelievable pitching performances. And Mitchell Traver is the guy you're talking about. And the unique thing about our starting rotation of the four guys, all of them have started a game on Friday night. And you know how college baseball holds, you know, the quote-unquote Friday night starter is supposed to be some superhuman pitcher. And all four of our guys have pitched in that role. And so, you know, he's been in big games. He started, you know, Big 12 games. He started against USC when they were rolling early in the season. You know, when you're in a shorter series, one of those guys got to pitch out of the bullpen, and you know, he did outstanding. Alex Young did great. You know, he was on the ropes early in that game, and then pitched into the seventh inning. And Brian Howard, Preston Guillory, really had bases loaded, nobody out in the ninth, and only kept it, you know, to two runs. So we pitched well. So did they, and it's just a classic game.
Well, I'm pitching, and we're talking with Jim Schlossnagel here for a couple of minutes. TCU, obviously very busy, kept us up last night, but they get to Omaha, 2.38 team ERA. I guess as one of the three teams coming back to Omaha, a lot of the talk this week, as it always is the comparisons between the team you brought last year and the team you brought this year. What are the differences between the two?
The differences, you know, the pitching is strong. You know, certainly Finnegan, who everybody knew about when he ended up pitching the College World Series and the World Series in the same year in the big leagues, you know, he's a difference maker. But this pitching is just as good. It's different, but it's just as effective. Where we're different is offensively. We ended up leading the Big 12 in batting average, and I'm like, you know, we're definitely not a power-hitting team. I think we're close to 120 stolen bases. But we have depth in our lineup, a lot of left-handed hitters, two switch hitters. So really on any given day, you could, if you told me, you know, today you need to flip your lineup and the leadoff guy has to hit ninth and nine has to hit leadoff, really wouldn't have any problem with it. You know, we can, we're not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark very much, but we are going to be able to put some pressure on you throughout every, you know, spot in the batting order. And so that's, you know, it's a very different team that way. And one that is more built for, you know, Ameritrade Park than maybe last year.
And you brought up Brandon Finnegan, and as Royals fans here, as hosts of this show, we thank him for all of his service. Have you talked to him lately?
Oh, yeah. He was actually here. His brother got married Saturday, so the Royals were great enough to let him, you know, break away for a couple days, and he was here for our game on Sunday, actually, and got a chance to spend some time with the guys. And, of course, he and I talked normally once a week or once every other week, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see him while we're at Omaha.
Consensus, Coach, is that LSU is the best team in the country. Now, maybe they are not playing as good as some teams that have made it to Omaha. What's your early thoughts on what you're going to see on Sunday afternoon?
Well, you know, I coached at Tulane for 8 years, and so I know, you know, that LSU fan base, and I know that the College World Series is a little bit different when LSU's actually there. I mean, their fans show up when they don't go. So, I had the luxury of coaching Alex Bregman on the 2013 USA National Team, and he's the Pete Rose of college baseball in my mind. So, and Andy Canizero, their new hitting coach, he was our shortstop at Tulane for 4 years. He was on our World Series team there in 2001. So, just anxious to get, you know, excited to get a chance, opportunity to play him. Obviously, I agree with you. Probably, if there is such a thing as the most complete team, it's probably them. But you got to go play the games. And any time you're playing this time, still playing this time of year, you're either playing somebody that's really good, you know, really hot, or both. And so, you know, we're looking forward to getting a chance to play him.
Coach, your catcher, I was really impressed with him, the way he hit the ball, the way he handled it. Your pitchers, I thought he did an excellent job. Talk a little bit about him in that game he played last night.
Well, he's been amazing for us all season. His name's Evan Skalk. He's a freshman. And the biggest question mark for us going into the season is that we have two freshman catchers that we're going to have to handle a veteran pitching staff. And normally you have the opposite. You know, you have a veteran catcher handling the young pitching staff. So Evan and our other catcher, Zach Plunkett, have done an amazing job. And Evan was very highly recruited and, you know, very heavily scouted. And we were fortunate enough to hold him in the draft. He's a great student, and he's a true grinder, you know. And he's from Chicago, and so he's getting accustomed to this heat. And I think he caught 35 innings over the 3 days. And he's hit cleanup every day in our order and caught the majority of the games. So he's a marquee player. And in today's world of college baseball, you know, when you hold a great player in the draft, they really need to play. And so he's done that every day for us.
And the last second here with Jim Schlossnagel, what are you thinking? I mean, let's face it, most of the time Garrett Crane would have been out at the plate last night. The A&M catcher just didn't handle the hop. And you could see your third base coach holding him up. But it all played out in your favor. What's going through your mind while that play is going on?
Well, you know, I saw the ball when Skalk shot it down the left field, down the line. And when he hit it, I thought it was going to be a base hit. I thought we were going to win the game because, as Coach Childress had just moved that Gideon over closer in the six hole. And when he hit it off the bat, I was like, that's down the line. And Gideon made a really nice play to get the ball, and then it kicked away from him just a little bit. And my first thought was keep going. I didn't actually see Coach Moe hold him up until I saw the video. But that's a really tough play for anybody, even though it looks easy because he's going to be out by a bunch, because it's not a throw you practice very much. And he long hopped it, but it just skipped on something and got by the catcher. And sometimes those crazy games end in a crazy way.
And, Coach, last question. When the draft is taking place, when all of this baseball, we've had this discussion with a variety of CWS coaches over the last decade, it can kind of take away some of your focus. You had a couple of pitchers that were drafted last night. Can you just touch on that and what you'll do with them this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, college coaches and players have been having to deal with this for a while. I mean, certainly it would be great if they could have just moved it back one day. But even then, you know, it's not so much the draft itself. It's everything that leads up to it, the phone calls, the anxiety for the kids, that their teammates asking what's going on, you know, all that stuff. And so I don't think it's necessarily anybody's fault. You know, it only affects 16 teams, really, out of 300. So I don't know what you could do. But there's no doubt it's a challenge, and it's something that, I mean, this time yesterday, you know, we're trying to get Alex Young to turn his phone off and just focus on winning a baseball game. And he didn't know he was drafted until I told him about, I don't know, 5 minutes after that run scored. I pulled him to the side and congratulated him, and then Tyler Alexander as well. So it's just part of our sport. I don't know how we fix it. I guess that's above my pay grade, but it would be nice to have it work some other way.
Well, Coach, you're gracious with your time, so we won't use you up. I know it's going to be a busy week, but you're still playing baseball, and from the amazing comeback against North Carolina State to the 16 innings last night, the Horned Frogs are fun to watch, and we'll see you guys on Sunday.
All right, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. TCU head coach Jim Schlossnagel has always been gracious with his time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, you have to think back to that, Jimmy. I mean, TCU is a good, good, good baseball team. But fate has shined upon them. They should not be here. They shouldn't have even been in the Super Regional. North Carolina State was ahead of them 8-1 with two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning. And they got their rally going and scored six runs and then tied it in the ninth and won it in extra innings, in game, in the extra game. TCU's just maybe they're the team. Maybe fate's shining on them, because I'm looking at all these other teams. Maybe you can throw a little Cal State Fullerton there, but none of these other teams have won the way in the postseason that TCU has won.
No, you're right. TCU's been fortunate, and especially maybe not last night. You know, maybe last night they outplayed A&M. You know, A&M scored two in the ninth without getting a base hit. You know, had some things go well for them to tie it. But I didn't ask him. I don't know him well enough to ask him. But, you know, last night, you know, he went up to the home plate umpire and asked, "Hey, check that guy's glove. I think he's got a substance on there." Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he asked. They stopped the game. The same pitcher that had the line drive bounce off his chest.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it was tough because there was about five different shows you had to watch. The Royals were going on. You're over here. The hockey thing's going. You're trying to watch about five different things. But, yeah, he stopped the game, and the home plate umpire went out and looked at it and goes, nothing. And we went on. It only took about 20 seconds. Went out there, and we continued playing. But the A&M coach didn't look mad. You know what I mean? He looked like, "Hey, yeah, okay, let's keep going," you know. But what a game, well pitched game, pretty well defense. But that last play you talked about, that is a tough play, that throw, and he just thought he needed to get it away from the base runner. You sure didn't want to hit him in the back as he was running home.
I think 9 times out of 10, the guy's dead at the plate.
Yeah, the catcher
should have never went.
Yeah,
but it's the 16th inning. Let's go.
Yeah, the 16th. Let's take a chance. When was the last time we had somebody try to score at home? But what a weird play. I don't know if the people saw it, but they had a line drive with the bases loaded with one out, and it hit the pitcher in the chest. The ball could have gone anywhere. And it went over to the first baseman, who made a throw. Well, when he made the throw, he had to miss the runner running to first base, you know, because it was right down the line. So he had to kind of throw over him. And, you know, the runner on third got a horrible break. Because he was never even in the picture. I know you got to freeze on a line drive, but he should have been within 5 feet of that. But he wasn't even close, you know, to that. And then the next guy hit a line drive, I think, to the second base.
Shortstop.
Yeah, that's the end of the game. But
A&M had to make a lot of plays. You're right.
A&M.
TCU had many more scoring opportunities than A&M.
I heard they had 15 guys. They left 15 guys on base in extra innings alone.
Yowza. That'd have to be some kind of a record. As we will say today, we've said before, and we'll say probably throughout the week, this first game at that College World Series, so much is riding on it. I mean, you can lose game one of the NBA Finals and be fine. You put all your stats together that I keep going. Well, no kidding, if you're down one game to none, the odds of winning are probably tougher. But in the College World Series, you're throwing your aces, and if you can just get out of that first day with a win, the path, I mean, you're just so much relaxed, you can play baseball. But anybody can win on day one when you're throwing your best pitcher. I don't care if you're the eighth seed, if you're not supposed to be there. When you're throwing your best against their best, you're going to see usually a lot of low-scoring games, and plays like that are going to decide it. So thanks to Jim Schlossnagel for joining us off the top of the show here, head coach at TCU. We're going to talk with Dan Hoppe at the next break, a little Huskers. The draft isn't going to bother the Huskers very much this year. Good thing, bad thing? Does that mean we were lacking in recruiting? Are we lacking in stars? Or are we just having a dry year? What's the story there? We'll talk with Dan, and later on we'll talk a little Virginia baseball as well as we head out to Charlottesville with Andy Ramsbacker of the Daily Progress. Stay with us.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just arrange happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies today with high temperatures near 94, southwest winds 5 to 15. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 66. A chance for thunderstorms late on Wednesday. Right now, 84.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on a scorching Tuesday, a week of the College World Series, and a lot more going on. We've got the Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel Saturday in Hall of Fame. We've also got the Nebraska Kidney Association having their All-Star Games this weekend in Minden, and All-Star Volleyball apparently going on down in Hastings is their yearly deal. There's just a lot going on, and maybe you just can't drive out and work on your pivot irrigation system. You don't want to work on it, and you don't want to have to go out there and manually do things. Well, that's why TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot system with their GPS PP3 and GPS navigation corner system are great for you. You can run it off your phone, so you're watching your daughter play volleyball, your son play baseball this summer, or whatever the case may be, and you can run it right there from your smartphone. It is the wave of the future is here, and TNL is right on top of it, making it easier for their customers. You can reach your local TNL dealer like Kyle Stewart at RNK Irrigation in Grand Island, or you can go online at TLIRR.com and find out more about why TNL is like no other. Growing in your field, less maintenance, don't have to worry about the spoking because it's not a start and stop with the hydrostatic powered pivot system. It's just amazing to look and see the results. If you don't believe, just give them a chance. TL Irrigation. Well, the Nebraska baseball team, it was an interesting article I saw yesterday from Ken Hamilton of the Lincoln Journal-Star talking about baseball and the draft, and it's so different than any other sport. I mean, you recruit your butt off and all of, I mean, Mike Riley's not going to lose an incoming freshman to the NFL draft. He's not going to lose a sophomore to the NFL draft. Now, you can leave that year early in the NFL and in basketball like Teran Petaway did, but only in baseball can you get drafted like three different times in your career. And Dan Hoppen always talks a little baseball with us from Husker Online. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing all right.
Now, we just talked to Coach Schlossnagel. Did you stay up for the 16-inning marathon last night?
No, I did not. If I'm not covering, if it's not Nebraska baseball, I'm probably not going to stay up for a game like that. That was pretty insane, though. Quite a contest.
Yeah, some good baseball, some good things going to the College World Series. Before we jump into Nebraska, Nebraska played Cal State Fullerton earlier this year. We obviously have the Dave Van Horn story at Arkansas. Anything that intrigues you about the College World Series field, Dan?
I don't know if there's, you know, anything in particular that just sticks out. I just like going every year. I mean, the last couple of years I've covered it for a couple of different rival sites, just freelancing for some different teams, but I don't know if I'm going to do that this year. I might just go as a fan. Haven't done that in a while. It's just, you know, the atmosphere is a little bit different at TD Ameritrade now. It's not quite the same as it was out at Rosenblatt, kind of with the party atmosphere out in the parking lots and stuff, but it's still pretty cool. So I'm just excited for it in general. I mean, I think this is one of the cooler things that Nebraska has to offer for these two or three weeks in summer.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the draft in Nebraska baseball. Every school
usually has to worry about some guys, and last year, just Jackson Reitz right here in the state was a very high draft pick, and Monty Harrison was a very high draft pick, and then you have to worry about those juniors. I guess the big question, Dan, is there aren't a lot of guys that Nebraska has to worry about not being back with them, and in some circles that would be a concern, and maybe in others it just kind of shows what happened the last 6 weeks of the season. Just your thoughts on why maybe Nebraska is going to have a dry year when it comes to the MLB draft.
Well, I think, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that comes and goes in cycles. I mean, you know, they're obviously, you know, when you look at the top programs in the country, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the LSUs and the Vanderbilts and the programs like that, yeah, they're going to be struggling, you know. Well, I don't know if struggling is the right word, because you want to have, you know, talented guys that are going to have that option to go pro, but you know, they're going to have those decisions with guys every single year, whether, you know, those guys are going to leave early or whether guys in their recruiting class are ever going to make it to campus. You know, that's where Nebraska is shooting for it. You don't want to, you know, have situations like they did last year where they lost Pat Kelly early, and then obviously, like you mentioned, Jackson Reitz and also Monte Harrison never made it to campus. But at the same time, you know, you do want to have those guys in your recruiting classes, and you do want to have them on your roster, because they're talented guys, and, you know, there's always a chance that they'll turn down that money and they'll come back. So, yeah, it is kind of disappointing that Nebraska doesn't really have those guys this season that are such a concern, but I think you'll see that come back in years to come. Obviously, Ryan Bolt is certainly a guy who's going to get that consideration next year if he has a strong year. Nebraska has had a couple of really good recruiting classes I think they'll be okay with, you know, a couple guys on the roster, like Derek Burkamper's already been drafted once. I think if he has a big year, he could be back in that conversation. Maybe Derek King in a couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit frustrating for Nebraska fans that maybe they don't have that guy or, you know, that those guys to follow this year in the draft. But I think there's still talent on this roster. But, yeah, I think there is something to what you said, you know, that they did have that slide the second half of the year. They didn't have that same talent this year, and you kind of see that in the draft.
Yeah, you know, when I look at this, I look at baseball a little bit where your stock can go up depending on how your last season went a little bit more than any other sport. There's players that, you know, that they're going to take that are quarterbacks, and no matter, that's the guy they want. His body looks, he's 6'7", you know, he's 220 pounds, he can throw it, and those are the guys they want to pick. At Illinois, their pitcher was picked like 6th overall, and that guy,
yeah,
and there was no way he was going to do that, like, going into the year. You know what I mean? It was the year he had this year, and I think you're right. I think Nebraska, when they recruit, you have to be so careful about taking a guy that is so high in the draft that is a high school player that he might go, you know, right away, and you've made an offer there, and he's going to go to the MLB and not play college baseball, compared to somebody that might stick out at least 2 or 3 years of baseball. And I think you hit that right on the head. When you look at the recruiting we have right now, do you see any pitchers that you're concerned about, like right now, that might be going real quick in the MLB that Nebraska take?
I don't think so. They've got one guy this year who I think has the potential to get drafted. He's a pretty talented kid. His name is Chad Lewinsman. But I think he's a guy who's probably going to get picked a little bit later in the draft, where the compensation money-wise probably isn't going to be high enough for him to, you know, legitimately consider going early instead of sticking around at Nebraska. So I fully expect him to be on campus, and, you know, he'll be a part of the team next year. But, you know, just kind of going back to what you said, I mean, it is such a delicate balance, you know, trying to, and I've talked about this with Darren Erstad, and it's such a frustrating, you know, reality in college baseball that you have to recruit these high quality kids. You know, you got to go after the best kids in the class, but at the same time, as you're recruiting them, you know, you have that understanding in the back of your mind that, you know, the better this kid gets and the more hype this kid gets, the better chance there is that he'll never play for you and he'll just go pro. And you know, Nebraska saw that a couple times last year, like I said, with Reitz and Harrison. But at the same time, you know, sometimes, you know, you can get lucky like Nebraska. They went out, they put a lot of eggs in the Ryan Bolt basket, and then they just, you know, it feels kind of weird to say this, but they kind of got lucky that he got hurt at the start of his senior year, And I think, you know, that kind of scared some MLB teams, and there were some signability concerns with him, and all of a sudden he drops way down in the draft, and then he's coming to Nebraska. So, you know, you have to, as a college team, you have to still go after those high-quality, high-caliber guys and try and get them on your roster. But you do, you know, you have to have the understanding in the back of your mind that even once you get them to commit, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be sticking around for any period of time.
Dan Hoppen of Husker Online with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking a little Big Red Baseball Major League Draft. So, Dan, in for the fans out there that don't know, how is this recruit, this class rated? How good do you think this class is?
Well, we haven't actually gotten an official release on it yet. Darren is actually waiting until after the draft to release that. So it looks pretty good. You know, I don't think it's going to be quite as good maybe as last year's class, which was looked at as a top 20 class. You know, there aren't any, you know, like the guys that we've talked about already, there aren't any Monty Harrisons in there or Jackson Reese's, guys who, you know, if they would have come to campus, they would have been, you know, instant impact guys. But I still think that there is some real talent in this class. You know, I mentioned Chad Lewinsman already. I think he's going to be a very good player, a right-handed pitcher from Pennsylvania. I really like Jesse Wilkening. He's a catcher from Indiana. A couple weeks ago, I actually set the Indiana high school record for hits in a career. So that's another guy that I think could get drafted, but even if he does, I think he'll probably end up on campus. You know, there's a JUCO reliever, Pierce Romero, who I really like. I think he could potentially step into that Josh Rader closer's role if Nebraska chooses to go that way. I'm not sure if they will, but, you know, there aren't maybe some of the big flashy names in this class, but I do think that there's a lot of substance to it. And when you pair that with some of the youth that Nebraska had coming in last year, guys like Elijah Dilde, Luis Alvarado, Scott Schreiber, I think Nebraska has still got a pretty solid talent base.
All right, the early Dan Hoppen look at where everybody now sits with the Big Ten season over. Where do you see with guys leaving? And I know there's still some work to do, whether these guys leave for the draft or not, but where do you see the Huskers fitting in for the 2016 baseball season?
Well, you know, it's very early to try and make projections on that just based off, you know, who's going to be coming back and everything.
But that's what's fun, Dan.
Illinois is a very veteran-laden team, so I think they'll still be good, but they're going to lose some guys. That's going to be tough on them. I think Maryland's going to be right back up there. I think Michigan has a chance to be very good next year. That's a team, you know, that was good this year but kind of flew a little bit under the radar. They weren't one of the Big Ten's, you know, cream of the crop teams. I think they've got a chance to be good, though. You know, right now I'd probably put Nebraska somewhere in that 4 or 5 range with the ability of some of these younger guys are able to break out to get, you know, up towards more the top of the conference. But, yeah, right now they're probably sitting a little bit more, I'd say, in the upper middle class.
Yeah, Dan, here I got a question for you, and maybe you disagree, and if you do, that's fine. But it seems to me, you know, with the change of the bats, you know, when the scores in the World Series and the College World Series, I think there was one time UCLA won a game like 24-14, you know, and then they changed the bats. There are less home runs. There's more people playing small ball, which makes a guy that can hit extra base hits, he doesn't necessarily have to hit the ball out of the ballpark, but doubles are so critical right now when I look at college baseball. Somebody that can hit a double and knock in some runs. With Darren Erstadt being the player he was, I thought we might see some more power than we're getting at the University of Nebraska. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's kind of been something that's been interesting to watch under Darren's tenure so far. In his first year here, when it really wasn't, you know, it was mostly Mike Anderson's players, not his guys, that was actually Nebraska's best power year as far as hitting home runs, hitting doubles, stuff like that. I think, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how this approach, if it changes, how Nebraska kind of adjusts it. Because, you know, I think we kind of saw in the Big Ten tournament how the power behind those power hits and what they can do for you. Nebraska, you know, under Erstadt has mostly been more of a, you know, kind of station-to-station offense, the kind of offense where, you know, a guy maybe leads off with a single or a walk, then you bunt them over, you know, then you know, maybe you have a productive ground out or something, or a sack fly. And, you know, you just kind of move guys along that way, and you need kind of a series of things to happen for you to scratch some runs across. Well, we saw, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, Nebraska lost that last game to Michigan State because of two home runs, because Michigan State had guys who could come to the plate and they could change the game with one swing. And quite frankly, Nebraska didn't have that this year. You know, we saw under Mike Kirby, as opposed to Will Bolt being the hitting coach, the approach didn't really change. And we asked Aaron after the Big Ten tournament, after they lost, you know, do you change your offensive approach? And he kind of sounded like, you know, maybe there would be some adjustments in how they approach things. It's so tough to try and figure out what that balance is with the players, whether, you know, the guys can't hit for power or whether they're being instructed to, you know, just take what the pitcher gives them and go the other way. And there is definitely something to playing that way offensively. You're going to have less strikeouts. You know, if you rely on home runs and if you just rely on that power, then, you know, if you have a game where you don't hit one or two home runs, then you're probably going to lose. And that's kind of the other side of that coin. But, yeah, I think Nebraska definitely needs to add a little bit more power, because as we saw in the second half of the year, the offense just dried up, and they weren't able to string together those hits, weren't able to string together base runners, and we just saw the offense just, you know, kind of go into a shell once that happened.
Well, let's wrap things up here with Dan Hoppen of Husker Online. Who you got tonight, Cavs or Warriors?
I'm taking the Warriors. I think the Cavs had their emotional, you know, post-Kyrie big game too. That was a huge game for them, by the way, but I think the Warriors, they've kind of shown that resiliency this season, this postseason. Once they've kind of gotten hit in the mouth a little bit in a game, they come back and play pretty well the next game. So I'll take the Warriors tonight.
And finally, I don't pay a whole lot. I think I've made that very abundantly clear. I'm kind of like Sip when it comes to the football recruits. I like to know who they are, and then I like to see how they pan out. But I see that Nebraska has a 2018 offer to an in-stater from Beatrice in Cameron Juergens, who was outstanding at the state track meet. What can you tell us about him, Dan, if anything?
Well, I can tell you this. At Nebraska's Friday Night Lights camp last Friday, they brought in players from, you know, there were a lot of local kids, but there were players from all over the country. I mean, they had kids in from California, Texas, Arizona, all over. And Cameron Juergens was arguably one of the most impressive players at the entire camp. I mean, he was playing tight end, and there are these linebackers. I mean, you know, you've got pretty high-quality linebackers out there, and no one could cover him. He was one of the best players on the field. And obviously, let's mention, he's a 2018 kid, so he's still pretty young. He's still got some growing to do. I think, you know, that was big for Nebraska to be the first one to offer him, because I think he's got a chance to be a heck of a player, especially once he continues to grow. I can tell you this, he does not look like a high school sophomore right now, at least not what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not, you hear those kind of stories of the young kids, the freshmen and eighth graders at USC or Florida or something like that, just not very often for the Huskers. So the good thing is he's an in-state kid, so let's see how it all pans out. Dan, enjoy the summer. I hope to see you in Omaha or somewhere along the line. I appreciate the time.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Dan Hoppen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Tuesday. It's interesting where we see Nebraska baseball at, and that's kind of part of where this discussion went here, Jimmy, is that where will Nebraska be? I totally disagree with people that have any thoughts of Darren Erstad on a hot seat. I just don't think they know what they're talking about totally. I mean, just so far removed from, you know, any knowledge of how the organization is run, more so than anything that had to do with football or basketball. They don't understand. Darren's basically coaching for free and winning baseball games and playing good teams. But it, as Dan kind of alluded to, next year's team on paper probably isn't supposed to be as good as this year's team, so it depends a lot on how the young kids come around, and maybe that's why this year's team was supposed to be better, because some of the young guys came around last year. So I'm already looking 2 years down the road, and that is so dangerous, because if Nebraska kind of has what they had in the conference next year, then there will be some rumblings, and that's not good for anybody. So let's just take it easy. I mean, we enjoy our baseball. This is, it's going to be hard to ever be the number one seed in the country. But to be in position, I think maybe we're going to be there in a couple years.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And I think we weren't too far away from making the College World Series. I mean, if you're, you know, if there were, they took 64 teams, and, you know, some of those are already, if they win their league, they're already in. We weren't that far out of it. We were far enough away that we didn't talk about it, though. You know, we were just far enough away that we really weren't able to talk about it and going, hey, let's watch the selection show and see if we get in. We kind of knew where that was going to be. I think Darren Erstadt's demeanor keeps his job, though, for quite a while. I mean, we know who he was. He played Major League Baseball. He played for the University of Nebraska football and baseball. Just because of his demeanor and who he is and the way he acts, and he's kind of well respected among the other Big Ten coaches. We've had other Big Ten coaches on the show that said, hey, Darren Erstadt helps our league, you know, and he's done some thing, and they call him on the phone and ask for some things, and Darren's done a good job of, I guess, you know, telling the rest of the nation that Big Ten baseball's not bad. It was too bad one team didn't make it. You know, we had five in, and it's too bad one team didn't make it. I was kind of glad A&M, I wanted them to win because of the Simonson, you know. I mean, but, you know, there were a lot of Southeastern Conference teams in the tournament, so I'm kind of glad we got a little more variety.
And it could have been five. There's already four SEC teams in, and A&M would have made it five. There's no doubt about it. There's no Cinderella this year. There's not that team that you emotionally put your... I mean, you got LSU, but that's who the fans will definitely, one of them, root for. And they'll, maybe Arkansas, maybe because of Van Horn, maybe you can say they're a little bit of a underdog. They weren't a number one seed, but Virginia, I mean, they were a two. Virginia's a three. I think that's going to be the most interesting. The very first game on Saturday, I think, is going to be the most interesting for the Nebraska fan perspective.
Help me out real quick. Would Arkansas play Missouri State? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
And then getting to be the home team.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Arkansas at 40-23, they have 23 losses. Maybe a surprise team, but not the way it panned out. If, you know, because they got to be at home, they really kind of were basically a super regional host team, which is, you know, amazing that you get to host that super regional. So I'm like you. I agree that there is not that team that I'm looking at. I mean, you look at the eight teams in here, and I'm trying to say, well, which one doesn't belong? And they all belong. They've all been there.
And the interesting thing is you can see the dividing line. Vanderbilt is the tweener team. Vanderbilt is the tweener team because you have got, record-wise, Cal State Fullerton 39-23, Virginia 39-22, Arkansas 40-23. They're all within a game of each other. Then at the top end, LSU's 53-10, TCU's 49-13. By the way, the two best records remaining are facing off in the first round. You've got Florida 49-16, Miami 49-15, and then Vanderbilt a couple three games back at 47-19. So there's where your split's going to be when you're looking at favorites and probably odds and all that kind of stuff when it comes to the College World Series. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, let's look at our Midtown Mart Cooler question. We asked you yesterday, how many more games can LeBron James lead the Cavs to winning in this series? Overwhelmingly, 78% says they won't win the series, but they might win one more. 22% thinks they'll go and lose in seven games, and nothing besides that. Nobody's picking Cleveland to win this series in our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Today, who wins the College World Series? Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Who wins the College World Series? We get to change our mind on Friday. On this Tuesday, without delving too deep into the pitching, let's face it, TCU's got a heck of a shot on Sunday against LSU. If you base the way that both teams have played here in the postseason, LSU, we talked about it with Sean Ryan, a College Baseball Insider, last week. They didn't really impress during the regionals, and they didn't really impress during the super regionals, but the bottom line is they won. I think it's going to be tough to come out of there. Oh, boy. Florida played so darn good. I'm going to tell you what. I was more impressed by Florida than anybody else I saw over the super regional weekend. So I would say today I kind of like how Florida is playing. And if they get by Miami, then they're the favorite over the Arkansas-Virginia winner, and they're in a real good shape. So I'll take Florida. You got an early pick, Jimmy?
you know, I think Florida and LSU are going to be the two favorites on their side of the bracket. I think Florida on their side of the bracket and LSU, of course, on their side. And I actually think that those two teams also have a chance to come through the loser's bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I would think the other three, when I just look at it, it would be harder for them to go through the loser's bracket and win this. Vanderbilt might be able to go through the loser's bracket. I can't see Cal State Fullerton going through the loser's bracket and winning the thing. So I guess I'm looking at it right now that LSU and Florida, just because of that. Miami of Florida, Florida. Can you imagine that game in Omaha? Miami of Florida versus Florida. I don't think they like each other.
It'll be an easy game to enjoy the downtown festivities, if you're so inclined, over the weekend. Well, that is our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up around the corner, we're going to catch up with Andy Ramspacker of the Daily Progress, covering Virginia baseball. We'll chat with him after this.
Plan now to attend the 2015 Nebraska High School Finals Rodeo at the Adams County Fairgrounds. See performances at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. each day on June 18th and 19th. The Finals Rodeo will be on Saturday, June 20th at 1 p.m. See the best of the best compete at this rodeo. You don't want to miss it. For more information, call 402-462-3247 or log on to AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com. We'll see you at the State High School Rodeo, June 18th, 19th, and 20th.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Back in time, a caveman, his name was Ugg, got tired of gathering nuts and berries, decided that meat was a neat treat.
That mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Dog now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply, west off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back, she said shut up, baby.
Second Daddy Shows, ESPN Radio, here with Doug Duda, Jim Langan of the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Ram is the fastest growing brand truck in America. Stop into Midway to see how the new Ram 1500 or Ram heavy duty truck may be the one for you. If you like doing a little off-road and summer fun, how about experience that all summer Jeep feeling with the family road trip or a day off-roading? It's a time to get the Jeep you've always wanted. You can stop by and see them on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or view their entire inventory, plus many other special deals at thinkmidway.com. Maybe you're not in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. You just need yours worked on, tires rotated, oil change. They can do it all for you there at your Midway Auto dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, it kind of feels like a repeat of last year with a few of the teams coming in. Coach Schlossnagel and TCU joining us, and we welcome back to the program from the Daily Progress. I remember last year it was his first trip to go to Omaha, and Virginia stayed the entire time. Andy Ramsbacker back with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Andy, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Are you ready? Are you ready for trip two?
Yeah. Well, now I've become somewhat of a veteran. Now this is like an annual deal. I was able to get a cheaper rate on a flight this time. I wouldn't say that I was, as opposed to last year where I saw this coming pretty much the whole year because Virginia was, number one in the country for the majority of the year. I was somewhat looking forward to a vacation in June this year. Then this last couple of weeks has happened, and here I am again, ready to, sit on a plane for Omaha, Nebraska tomorrow morning. So, it comes with the job, and I guess I'm excited to be back.
So many questions to ask you, but before we get into breaking down the team and the postseason here for them, the draft going on, a couple of names that went. Obviously, if you went last night, you're expected to be big-time step up, and a lot of pitchers got taken last night and a couple from Virginia. What's the draft look like when it's affecting your team?
Yeah, Nathan Kirby was a guy who, beginning of the year, was the top 10 pick potential, certainly coming off of last year where he was an All-American, he was the ACC Pitcher of the Year. Those credentials, plus him being left-handed, plus the fact that he can run a fastball into the mid-90s on occasion, it was tons of pro potential. And this year, the numbers are good. Obviously, the big thing is he hasn't pitched in going on 8 weeks now. He suffered a lat strain April 17th against Miami and has been out. And the people I've talked to thought that his slide a little bit, he went 40th last night to the Milwaukee Brewers. His slide in the draft, more to do with some command issues. He's walked a lot more guys this year, maybe hasn't had as much power, much command with that fastball, running it into the 90s as he did last year. But still very talented, and there's a chance, a really good chance, actually, that he will appear in the College World Series and might play Saturday out of the bullpen against Arkansas. And Josh Forbes went yesterday, the second-to-last pick of the second round, a guy who has been, maybe you can make the case, the MVP of this team because he has bounced around so many roles. The team has had so many injuries, particularly on that pitching staff. Force has been a closer. He's been a starter, and he's been really good in both roles. And, what his potential is, will he be a closer? Will he be a setup guy, a starter at the next level? We'll see. But I think the Dodgers got a pretty versatile guy who's played a variety of roles in college, to this point.
Yeah, I looked at Josh, and he's got 14 saves, which is quite a bit for college baseball. To have 14 saves, that's a big number. And it looks like he started three games. When I look at your team, you have four guys that can kind of have extra base hits, maybe hit some home runs. They don't hit a ton of home runs, but they've got some power. How are you scoring? Is it the doubles, or do you have some speed? Are you hitting running? Are you getting stolen bases? Or would you say it's just basically pitching, defense, and just kind of playing normal baseball?
Yeah, well, I'm not doing anything. It's all Virginia. But they I don't know what the identity of this team is, to be honest with you. There's not really, this time last year, you knew they had really elite pitching. You knew they had really, really good defense. I mean, fielding percentage-wise, it was, I think, second in the country going into the College World Series. And that's what they banked on. And then they had a lineup, which featured, just four or five draft picks, top 10 round draft picks that had not lived up to their hype to that point. And then they got hot at the right time and the offense came around. That team was a machine. This year, I think, you got to look at this season kind of in segments, in particular this last stretch where they've gotten hot. And you look at the starting pitching, I think the number one and two guys, Connor Jones and Brandon Waddell, have eaten up a lot of innings and have saved that bullpen because it is not a very deep staff at all, especially when you compare it to last year. Really, Josh Spores is the one guy they can clearly count on out of that bullpen. And then beyond that, it's kind of a question mark. So those two guys, those two starters in Connor Jones and Brandon Waddell, have had to kind of been the horses since Nathan Kirby's been out. They've done that. They've given this team a chance to win. And then in the postseason, it's been clutch hitting. I think incredible stat. They've scored 33 runs in the NCAA tournament, and 26 have come in the sixth inning or later. So it's just a matter of clutching up with an opportunity, and that starting pitcher pitching has kind of put them a chance to win. And then when the offense needs to do it, they've been delivering to this point in the NCAA tournament.
Andy Ranspacker back with us, covering Virginia Athletics in the College World Series from the Daily Progress. Andy, I said in watching most of the two games against Maryland, let's face it, Maryland got UCLA out of the way, which is one of the reasons Virginia's here, and then they had to beat Maryland. But, boy, the Terrapins really just kind of gave both games away. Does Virginia fans a little bit feel that, or do you guys feel that you kind of put your nose to the grindstone and found a way to get it done?
It depends on how you look at it. I think Maryland, you take away two innings, the Super Regional, and you're talking to a Maryland beat writer right now. I mean, they really won that. And you look back to Maryland last year, and they took the first game of the Super Regional in Charlottesville against Virginia. They just have to feel absolutely snake-bitten by playing the Cavaliers. You can look at it, the Maryland gave it away, but, Maryland also was throwing out there the guy that gave up those winning hits in the eighth inning of Friday's game one and the ninth inning of Saturday's game two was Kevin Mooney, who is their program's all-time saves leader, who is one of the better closers in the country this year, who stranded a runner in scoring position to close out the Los Angeles Regional a week before. So they had their most trusted guy out there, and they dared Virginia to beat him, and they beat him. So it wasn't like they did it against some, seventh guy out of the pen. They did it against their best pitcher and a guy that John Sheff, the Maryland coach, trusted. They delivered. So, yeah, it's been everybody kind of looks at this run as kind of remarkable considering where they were 3 or 4 weeks ago, not even in the ACC tournament at that point. And it has been, certainly it's been impressive. They've also lucked out. They got put in somewhat of a weak regional out in Lake Elsinore, California. And then they lucked out again by Maryland upsetting UCLA and getting a super regional to come to Charlottesville. So they've had some breaks along the way, but I'd say for the most part they've earned it.
Well, maybe a little of their luck. I mean, let's face it, Virginia went all – I mean, they lost by one in the third game of the College World Series final to Vanderbilt. It would be something if the two teams fought their way back and met each other again. But, again, you're not drawing one of the toughest teams in Omaha either in Arkansas in the first round.
Yeah, it's funny how it's worked out. Just kind of looking over Arkansas. And Arkansas's path to get here has been similar to Virginia's in terms of – getting some breaks along the way. Certainly, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe Missouri State never, they didn't put in to host the Super Regional because there was a event going on, games going on in that stadium that weekend.
Yep.
So Arkansas gets the Super Regional, just like UVA, had the better bid than Maryland, another three seed in the regional to get a Super Regional. So the fact that there was baseball in Fayetteville and Charlottesville last weekend was a bit of a surprise. And both teams took advantage. And I think when you look at both teams, there's one common denominator, and it's the coach. I mean, Dan Horn and O'Connor, two guys that have been around this before. They've met before, right, 2009 in the same stage. They met last year in the regional in Charlottesville. And just two run two, nationally respected programs. And, with two, they've coached them good enough this year to get into this point. And, yeah, Saturday will be a lot of fun.
Andrew, remind the folks as they get reacclimated with the eight teams that are going down to Omaha, remind the folks of the, especially your, because we've talked a little bit about the pitchers, but some of the field guys, some of your offensive guys that were a big part of last year's team that are back, and the fans will probably remember their names.
There's not many. There's not many. When you had nine guys from last year's team get drafted. So the it's new names. I mean, there's some regulars. You know, Kenny Towns is back. He's a senior who did not get drafted last year. It's kind of a mystery. There might have been I don't know what he was asking for. Maybe that could have been it. But he came back this year, and UVA has been lucky to have him. He's had a really good senior season. Danny Pinero, again, is the shortstop who was a freshman last year who was in the field. I'm trying to think. Joe McCarthy, I think, is probably the biggest name that maybe fans will remember. He was the right fielder, still is the right fielder. A guy who missed the first 11 weeks of this season because of back surgery. But he's given them a little bit of a spark since he's come back, although I think his timing's still a little off. His average isn't real, real high to this point. But basically that's it. Robbie Komen's still the catcher. But beyond that, it's all new faces. There's guys like Matt Theis, who didn't play at all last year, now is a sophomore and leads the team in basically every offensive category. He's a really, really good player. A freshman in Pavin Smith plays left field and first base. I think is the next big star in this program. Another freshman in center field and Adam Haisley. So there's a lot of new faces that you kind of got to do some research for if you're looking up UVA and comparing it to last year's team. Because the makeup of it, the character of it, it's a lot different.
Andy, I'll just wrap it up with this here for you. Talking Virginia baseball, there's that possibility that the two ACC teams could meet on a Monday evening if you and Miami can, well, you could meet on two different occasions, but let's take the positive route here. And 2-2 against Miami this year, won the first two and then dropped that third game and lost to them in the tournament. What do you think the odds of Virginia advancing and playing a lot of baseball and keeping Cavalier fans out there for 10 days?
Yeah, I'm done with predicting about this team because, like I said, I was, temporarily making vacation plans this time about a month ago. Did not expect this to happen. It's weird because when we were talking last year, I think it was Virginia's the favorite in this thing. And now they're kind of like this Cinderella story, and they're hot, and they're just going to kind of ride this. Ride this wave and see how far it goes. They definitely have a chance to win those first two games because, like I mentioned earlier, Connor Jones is going to start on Friday. Connor Jones, as a sophomore, has pitched as good as anybody in the country over the last 7 or 8 weeks since Nathan Kirby's been injured. And then Brandon Waddell. I'm sure the folks in Omaha remember Brandon Waddell. He threw a complete game against Vanderbilt on the brink of elimination in game two. The final series last year, so a guy with a ton of experience, particularly in Omaha. He's made 50 starts in his career. He goes in game two. That's, you feel pretty confident. When you roll out a guy who's pitching as hot as Connor Jones is in game one, and then you can throw out a guy who has so much experience like Brandon Waddell does in game two. Taking on a Miami team that is loaded offensively, but as we all know, TD Ameritrade Park, his offense gets neutralized a little bit in that park. So maybe the advantage isn't as much. I would like UVA's chances in that one, too. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll pack for 2 weeks again, and who knows, I'll have to do laundry.
You'll get a chance to go back to some of your favorite places and find some new ones, Andy. We appreciate the time. We hope to see you in Omaha, okay?
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Ranspacker here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Daily Progress. Check it out with the very latest for Virginia. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and wrap things up when we come back. Got an email question about the NBA Finals for Mr. Langan when we return.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's, call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Hit this one high and deep. Right center field, way back there, and home run.
Are you looking to hit an insurance home run? Contact your hometown team at the Kroll Agency for protection written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. The Kroll Agency, the IMT Group, and you. A team that can't be beat. The Kroll Agency, with offices in Hastings, Minden, Kennesaw, and Roseland. Online at KrollAgency.com.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings.
Doug and Daddy Show. Couple of things left to talk about here before we wrap it up. Don't forget Hail Varsity. I get to sit in and co-host again this afternoon with Chris Schmidt from 4 to 6. So Hail Varsity airs every weekday here from 4 to 6 on ESPN Radio. And then the NBA Finals tonight. Coverage begins at 7. Tip-off is set for just after 8 o'clock. And we go to the Dent Popper inbox here. And this comes from John and Carney. He says, Doug, hey, I've always respected Mr. Langan and his officiating. Ask him how he would ref LeBron James and other NBA stars and how they push off offensively. How do you see it, Jimmy?
Well, there's been some times where they get ready to shoot, and if they can get that defense to jump, they try to make contact. And I think, you know, you've got to ignore that contact if it's initiated by the offense. You know, if the offense goes out of their way to try to draw a foul from the defensive player and they're taking an angle that's not their normal shooting thing, I would ignore that. You can't reward the defense for leaving their feet. You know, so you're going to have some contact in basketball sometimes and you're not going to have a foul. But there's been some times, too, where LeBron definitely pushes off and it's a charge. I mean, he's initiating it. He's the one. But you can't do that. I mean, that's not fair to the defense. They need to call the charge on him. I thought the last overtime, I thought he got fouled pretty bad a couple times, and he didn't get the call. So it's kind of an interesting scenario. One thing about it, when you're reffing a game and there's 10 players out there, you notice LeBron. At the high school level, the kid from GICC, the tall kid from GICC that's playing football,
yeah,
Wyoming.
Guy fun. Yeah,
there's everybody in the crowd notices what he's doing. And, you know, and because he's doing something inside and he's hard to guard, and there's usually two guys on him. So you can't call fouls on him just because he's moving his body to shoot the ball. He's got to do something to lower his shoulder, to do something to get the offensive foul. And there's times where he does that. But the guy's right, whoever called in or emailed me, John, he's correct, that it is difficult, and you have to watch that area more than you would just any 10 guys on the floor, because you know that LeBron is a very important part of the game, and it's where the defense is watching, so that's where the referee needs to watch, too. Hopefully I answered his question without dodging it. I would have called some charges on him that some officials aren't calling, but I also would protect him when he's shooting the basketball, and he's taking it up strong like everybody else. He deserves to get the foul called when he's shooting it.
Who you got tonight? It opened Cleveland 2.5, and right now it's Golden State 1.5. I'm not saying in this instance who you think's going to win, but when you hear that line, Jimmy, what does it mean to you? It switched 3 points from 2.5 Cleveland to 1.5 Golden State in two nights.
Yeah, what's going on is at the very beginning is what happened was people maybe bet Golden State to win the series, and now they want to hedge their bet. They want to hedge it. And if Cleveland was favored by 2.5, they can bet, you know, some Golden State money and kind of cover both bets a little bit here. You can take Golden State, and if Cleveland wins by a point or two, you can cover yourself a little bit that way. So if you bet Cleveland to win the series and you're getting 2-1 odds, so Vegas has got to be careful about what the persons are going to do about trying to cover themselves, because this is the third game. This is a little bit of coverage, you know, and then you can start betting money lines and you can't lose. So I think that's why the line changed. That's my honest opinion.
Vegas Insider already has game 4, Cleveland -1. Interesting how that will change by the end of the night.
Yeah, because you can bet both games if you want to right now.
And also, want to let you folks know, if you're heading out to have some lunch today, the Carney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the place to be, or slide on in for dinner tonight and enjoy the games that are going on. Of course, the NBA Finals are going on. Last night it was Super Regionals in the NHL and World Cup Soccer and Major League Baseball. It's all there for you, and they've got the TVs on, whatever you want to watch. If it's not on, they'll turn it on at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Carney. Enjoy your favorite meal, no matter what it is. Maybe you just want to go in and have a quesadilla or some appetizers, but try the boneless wings. The new mango habanero sauce is the latest sauce on the menu. You can get anything from salads, which is the special, or you can go right on up to a big old steak or some ribs. Fill yourself up. It's only there for you at the Carney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. The United States women's soccer team won 3-1 last night. I think it was closer than people thought it would be late in the ball game, but they won. They'll play again against Sweden on Friday. Also, one more. Here's one I know you'll find interesting, Jimmy. American Pharoah. And I would have done the same thing. I didn't get to Fonner. I didn't forget. I had a buddy going over. I did make a little wager on the try, hit 2/3 of it, but like usual, no. I wanted to get that $2 win ticket on American Pharoah and then just stick it on the wall in here, because you knew, I mean, it paid back, what, $350, I think it was, for Pharoah to win. Well, of the 94,000, and this was at Belmont, and according to the company Amtote International, 94,128 $2 win tickets were placed. So far, 3,891 have been cashed. Over 95% of those $2 win tickets have not been cashed, and then the money would go right back to the state of New York. They've got till March 31st next year to cash those tickets. If you didn't cash it when you left the track, you ain't going to cash it now. You're going to keep it. But just a part of history there.
Yeah. Those are all $2 win tickets. Is that what
they
say?
Well, yeah. You're not holding on to your $500 win ticket or whatever.
No. But those are all $2 win tickets. That's kind of interesting. You know, I was really surprised that he paid $350. I mean, I would have bet money that he would have paid between $290 and $310. And I'm usually pretty good at that. So they were betting a couple other horses, and nobody went off like at 50 or 60 to 1. They were all like 20 to 1 or under. Yeah.
No doubt about it. Legion Baseball tonight. Kearney Post 52 and Aranza will be hosting Columbus. 5 points and Little Caesars will be at Central City. Grand Island Home Federal at Norfolk. 5 points hosting Norfolk. USAVE and Tom's Dinsdale are at St. Paul. Hastings 5 points will play a single game at North Platte tonight, while Hastings Johnson Imperial will host North Platte in a doubleheader. Time is starting to draw close for the State Games of America registration. You have until July 1st. Over 7,000 athletes have already registered. Go to SGA2015.com. We've got some new coaches at Hastings St. Cecilia. Tara Jones is the new volleyball coach. She has been a coach at Donovan Trumbull, was an assistant for the Hawkettes this year. Spencer Zeisett will take over the boys' track team. Michaela Niederklein will take over the girls track team, which were all coached by Alan Van Kira before his retirement, and Kyle Alcorn will be the new wrestling coach. So a lot of new faces will be running programs over there at St. Cecilia. And close but not close enough for our golfers from Nebraska that were in the U.S. Open qualifying. They all came up short. The closest was John Hurley. 36 holes. Everybody played 36 holes. There was 10 different sites. The Nebraska guys were at 4 different spots. Hurley was in Newport Beach, California when he approached the par 3 17th hole. In. They took 6 spots. He was setting in 5th. Took a quadruple bogey 7. A par would have put him in the U.S. Open. 10 cupped it, unfortunately, for our buddy John Hurley. Scott Gucheski, they took the top 4 at Springfield, Ohio. He finished in 8th. Brandon Crick did not finish at Columbus, Ohio. And in Memphis, Riley Reinertsen finished tied for 69th, and Ryan Vermeer finished tied for 55th. We want to thank the many great guests today, led by TCU head coach Jim Schlossnagel after their exciting 16-inning win last night. We also got a chance to catch up with Andy Ranspacker of the Daily Progress to talk Virginia, talk Nebraska baseball, and the Major League Baseball draft with Dan Hoppen. Again, if you missed any of it, go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. More College World Series All-Star festivities as the week continues. Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, we'll talk to you on Hail Varsity today at 4:05.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game
over.